It's lovely to be with all of you again. It's lovely to be able to share in a time when you now have your own pastor. And it's good for me to be able to stand here. And I'll say a little bit more in a moment. And to stand here feeling as fit as a fiddle. I'll come to that again in a moment. But when we come to a day like this, and I'm going to allude a little bit more to the fact that we do go through various seasons in our lives, sometimes we have to recognise that things often have a pattern, things often have a rhythm within them, and in all of this, God is building us up and making us fruitful and blessing us in many ways. But let me tell you a little story. I'm sure it's probably a fictional one, but it makes a very good point. A young man fresh out of college went for a job interview, feeling that he was well qualified for the position he was being interviewed in. He listened to the presentation about the firm and the products and what was going on within the firm as the interviewer was talking about the firm. And then the interviewer said, "Over to you. Now, what are you looking for in the job that you're applying for?" So the young man said, "Well, I would expect a starting salary of £75,000 at least, given the qualifications that I've already attained." The young man was then looked upon very carefully by the interviewer, who added, "Well, would you like a package, which would include a new company car every 2 years, 10 weeks annual holiday, private medical insurance, a pension scheme that matches 75% of your final salary, and 12 months maternity leave for each child you have?" Oh, the young man, he rubbed his hands together and he said, "When I thought that I heard you say that, I thought that you must be kidding." To which the interviewer said, "Well, yeah, I was kidding, but you started it, so I carried on with it." Theory and practice, you know, they can often seem to be miles apart. Having worked previously both in industry and in the health service, there's always quite an interesting period that I used to note when new graduates used to come to a firm, and very often in the health service, who had really been built up in their expectations of what they would do. And I remember one very charming young lady. It's a bit of a confession, this is really, but she was a very nice girl and probably got away with an awful lot because of that. And she'd taken a degree in physics. And she was always telling us how physicists were a bit of a cut above other people. Until the day I nearly persuaded her, and had I given the money, I think to her, I think she might have done it. But I said to her, "If you're going to get some petrol," which she was going for, "could you get me a packet of petrol powder?" To which she quite calmly walked out and said yes. I think she probably twigged that when she went to the shop that this was possibly something you couldn't get. However, that all went down very well, but theory and practice don't always match together. And it's very important when we look at the scriptures and when we come to any part of scripture, not only to look at what was going on within the scripture itself, but also how we apply that to everyday life, and perhaps even more importantly, how we live out day by day what we believe God is saying to us through the scriptures. I don't often mention when I'm preaching the title of a sermon, but I've really entitled this sermon, "More Than Conquerors," based upon that reading from Romans chapter 8, where Paul is writing about the hope that we have in Christ, and a hope which is so powerful and so strong that in spite of many things that are going on in the world around us, and were very particularly going on in the world around Paul, he could say that in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, most of us, when we go out of here this morning, will probably leave this church not fearing a terrorist attack, not fearing that we're going to suddenly be stopped by the police on the roads, not when we get home expecting a knock at the door, wondering if we're going to be arrested because of our faith, and we are very blessed because of that. That was not the case when Paul was writing. He was writing at a time when persecution had already happened to the church, there had already been martyrs, and the situation within Rome, the city that he was writing to, was going to get very much worse in the coming years. It was very difficult for Paul and for other followers of Jesus Christ to remain loyal to their faith, and it was certainly a challenge to recognize that in all of these things, God was working for their good, and that they could, in spite of all the challenges, be more than conquerors. In June, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And I'm receiving what, for the first week of the cycle of treatment, is a very uncomfortable regime of chemotherapy. By God's grace, the prayers of many and the skills of the medics have given me an excellent prognosis. In fact, some ways, when I walk into places, and I know many of you have been praying for me, I feel a bit of a fraud, really, because I'm absolutely glowing with health at the moment. I've got no pain, no problems, and I'm about as fit as it's possible to be, fitter than I've perhaps been for years. Since I was diagnosed, we've decorated a big part of our house. I've been involved in many energetic things, and really it's made very little difference to us, other than the fact that I have to have frequent hospital trips. Now, while I would prefer not to be in this position, it's right now that faith comes to the fore. Now, if I can't walk through this valley without hope, my faith doesn't mean a thing. Right now, I know that the Lord has his hand on everything that's happening to us. I'm uncomfortable at times after the treatment. I'm comfortable, but I know that it's all for the best. I'll practice easy because the prognosis is good, but it's a reality I'm still walking through. Now, probably many of you will be very aware that we live in rather strange times. Our representatives in Parliament seem to have had all kinds of scandal catching up on them, and nobody knows where all this is going to end. We don't know what the truth of all the reports we are hearing is, what's in the background of them, what's really going on, what's been going on, and I suspect there's a few things that have got added onto the stories and accusations that have been made. On the other side of the pond, the United States is going through all kinds of absolutely bizarre manifestations of its political life nationally and internationally. I don't think any of us could have ever envisaged what the last 12 months have bought in terms of the publicity that's coming out about the leadership of that country. And I don't know whether it's with amusement, whether it's with consternation, or whether we're just absolutely gobsmacked by the fact of the things that we seem to be hearing about almost day by day. Offshore tax avoidance seems to have stirred a lot of emotion. Oh, and that really has caught on, hasn't it, in recent weeks, with all the rights and the wrongs and the morality of it. And tragically, we hear of yet another shooting at a church in Texas. Bizarre, tragic, threatening, sordid, and horrible news seems to be hitting the headlines every hour. And sometimes we hear of this going on around us with the places that we live. And that can leave us feeling fragile, threatened, and anxious. And it's not just the headlines news. It's stories of tragedy and injustice and evil that seem to be going on locally, that we hear whispered in street corners, in shops, in places that we go to. And sometimes it's quite easy for us to feel got at in all sorts of ways. It's easy, in a way, to want to withdraw into some forgotten place and forget all that's wrong with the world and let it pass us by. And yet it's into a not dissimilar mix that the words of Paul penetrate. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Coming back to my own personal situation. Years ago, when someone was diagnosed with cancer, it was considered, first of all, right not to talk about it, except in whispers, out of the earshot of the person who was suffering, only sharing the news with one or two people. And it was a cardinal offence to actually tell the sufferer what they were suffering from. The lies and the subterfuge this has created have been damaging in the extreme, and that sometimes even within God's own people. I pray now that being open and upfront about it can make it easier for anyone here present who might have come into this church this morning, who may have come in with big problems that they have about their health, about their family, about situations they're involved in, to seek some word from God, something to be said to them which touches their situation. And this is where that difference between theory and practice must stop. What we are saying about God must touch our lives exactly where we are at this moment. Some of you perhaps with illnesses that you're worried about. Some of you with tragic family situations. What is God saying to you in this? And if my being able to be upfront about this is to say that in my situation, God has been with me, I've known his presence, I've known his support in all of these things, what I have believed, what I have preached, what I have stood for, what I've counseled people on, that wouldn't mean a thing unless it was touching me right now. And it is touching me, because God is real and God comes to us in the situation that we're in. If you've come in here this morning and you're looking for a touch from God, there are people who will pray with you, people who will come alongside and can be used by God to touch your lives right now. I'd also like to say that if you've got health problems, don't be afraid to be open about them, particularly to medical people. You know, for me, it's been rather a strange experience having this, because I go for treatment and I've had to have a lot of tests, as is fairly standard and normal with this kind of condition and others. When I go to the hospital, I don't go with a fear. It's almost like going to see old friends, because the staff there, I have to say, have been so good. They've been compassionate, they've been understanding, they've been patient, they've been welcome. I've not been rushed, I've been listened to. I can tell you, having worked within the medical environment itself anyway in my own past, but to actually be a patient is almost a privilege, because the people there are so good. Any distress I might have had, and I haven't actually had very much particularly, it's been harder, I think, for Linda than for me. The Lord has been in all of this and is working through them. They are fantastic. And if we want to be more than conquerors, and I think that's the challenge for us this morning, is to be more than conquerors. It does start with being open and upfront and honest. Jesus said to the disciples, and it's recorded in the Gospels, that they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. In whatever context we aren't upfront about things, it gives rise to suspicions and fear, which are often unnecessary and unhelpful. Paul writes about being more than conquerors. Now, the very term conqueror has some very interesting connotations. We might think about it in terms of the military experiences of the last 100 years, where there have been such major conflicts and loss of life. And we might be very grateful, and I'm sure we are very grateful, for those who've given their lives for the freedom that we are experiencing in this country at the moment. But when Paul wrote about conquerors, he was talking about people who not only achieved military supremacy, but who would take many of the people who they had conquered, and they would drag them in chains behind chariots and do all sorts of unspeakable and unmentionable things to them. I often wonder, when Paul writes about being more than conquerors, whether he's actually saying something about the way that we treat our enemies, not to put them down, not to seek revenge, but to build them up afterwards. To be more than a conqueror is also not about personal achievement, but it is very much about the way that we build up and forgive and treat those who've ill-treated us. To be more than conquerors is something that doesn't come about by accident. To be more than conquerors is something that we can work towards in partnership with the Lord. First of all, to be more than conquerors, I want to suggest that we need to remember what God has done and what God is doing. The short passage at the end of Romans 8 is a reminder that God is working good all the time for us. As Paul writes, in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. Again, from my own situation, it may seem very strange to say this, but I had to go over to the Prospect Hospital at Hastings for a bone scan. And when I got back, I can remember Linda saying, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Well, I've had a great day, actually." And the reason I had a great day was because, first of all, I had to go for an injection to highlight certain things in the bone, wait for 3 hours, then go back for the scan. During that 3 hours, I found my way to the restaurant at the hospital and got a superb slap-up meal there for a good price, went for a country walk, and finally spent about 3/4 of an hour in the hospital chapel. And in that chapel, there was such a sense of the peace and the presence of God. And I felt God had his hands on many things. And so there was good in that sense. I came back feeling I'd been touched by God. That's just one thing. And in other things, it's been good because of the sympathy, because of the help that people have offered. We see some people that we've known in a new light. Neighbours who said, "Any time you want a lift, if we're available, we'll take you somewhere." We often feel that we want to give out to others, but we're actually experiencing people now who are coming to us and giving out to us. And it's, when you're in ministry, you want to give out. And sometimes you can struggle a little bit with receiving, but perhaps God is teaching the lesson to us that we need to receive. And that actually you bless other people when you receive from them. So we're learning lessons in this. And also, of course, I've been blessed with not actually having a great deal of discomfort. And as I've said, I feel a bit of a fraud over this. But having that that knowledge that people are available to you, even though, and I know I'm probably looking pretty healthy, if I don't sound it, I'm looking pretty healthy, to know that people want to uphold you in this, it's a glorious experience. God is bringing good out of it. Second thing, if we want to be more than conquerors, I would say is this. Don't go it alone. Having this cancer has opened my eyes to what's going on with other people, both believers and others, who come alongside to help and support. And we are part of a body. And people in that body will come alongside and they will support. The fellowship of believers will uphold us practically, they'll encourage us, and we are part of a body that is living, vibrant, and real. God doesn't call us to be isolated cells in that body. He calls us sometimes to give within the body and sometimes to receive. And it is so important that we don't do this all on our own. This is where being open and important is very good for us. That being open to people means that we can activate the body, that we can let people bless us, that we can talk about things which are unmentionable. And it may well be that somebody who listens to this morning might have an anxiety and might want to say, I've been bottling this up. And I must get it out now. Don't bottle things up. Get them out. People will come alongside. Some can offer more practical assistance than others. Some people listening will be able to just come alongside and let you pour your heart out to them. We have a resource in all the people here, which is tremendous. Be open. Don't be afraid to share with the body. Third thing I'd want to say is don't take life too seriously. Now, there are serious things that we have to grapple with in life, but God has given us a sense of humour, and I can tell you what I've got hasn't destroyed mine in any way. I'm still working on it. It's still improving, although some people might think it's getting worse, but my sense of humour hasn't gone. And don't take life always too seriously. Not only has God given us a sense of humour, he's given us something which is very, very important. He's given us something called rhythm. Now, some mornings, when it's been very cold, Linda will say something to me like, oh, isn't this awful? It's a horrible time of year. To which my standard reply is something like, well, this is a result of the axis of the Earth's rotation being inclined 23 degrees to its orbital plane. Which is the reason why we have seasons. Now, the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes picks this up very well indeed in chapter 3. And it's a reminder there that there is a season for everything, that life has rhythms which God has ordained. Spring, summer, autumn, winter, they're all fruitful and are examples of rhythm. The very fact that this planet can sustain life is because of the rhythm of the seasons. If it wasn't because of the rhythm of the moon regularly going round the earth, of the earth going round the sun, and that slight tilt in its axis of rotation, we wouldn't be here today. Life would be unsustainable. God is a marvellous creation, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made within it. Rhythm is God's ordained way of creating and maintaining physical, mental, and spiritual health. We see it in the scriptures. You look through the scriptures and you can see the way. in which the people of God celebrated the ways that God had worked with them and interacted with them in their feasts, in the events and occasions. And they did it well. You know, when we have a celebration, we have a birthday party, we tend to sort of have a one-night stand in the right sense of the word. It tends to be one thing, lasting several hours. But when the people of Israel had a celebration, they celebrated the harvest, it wasn't a sort of 60 to 90 minutes once-off service once a year. It was a thing which went on for days and days and days. There was feasting, there was celebration, there was thanksgiving to God, there was good food. In one sense, I don't know whether you can use the word in the right sense, but it was a real good binge they used to have. And it was something which was celebrating the seasons that we have. Rhythm prevents us, if we recognize it for what it is, from being stressed and makes both ourselves and life much, much more interesting. You know, strangely today, we live in a place and a time when there is more mental ill health than perhaps we recognized before. We hear of youngsters being treated for stress and stress-related conditions that were unheard of a few generations ago. It seems to me that so much in modern life is about ticking boxes. Tick box everything that you get. Do you know, I went to the hairdresser some weeks ago. By the way, I'm told one of the complications of chemotherapy is you might lose your hair. So pray for the hairdresser. He will be that little bit worse off. Not that I go that often anyway. But I went to the hairdresser and said, oh, can I have your email address? And within a day, I was getting some emails coming from the hairdresser to ask how had they done, how well had they performed. Everything they wanted to know, all about the welcome in the shop I'd been to how they'd cut my hair and everything. To be quite honest, if I don't like one hairdresser, I go to another. And if the shop's closed, I go to another hairdresser. This is something which is typical of modern life. And sometimes it almost blows my mind when I see some of the extraordinary things we're expected to do. And it isn't healthy. I well remember the words of one of my tutors at Bristol Baptist College, the Reverend Dr. Keith Clements, saying how important it was, but this was with reference to ministry, but it's actually true of all of us, that we must not lose our humanity. We can easily become human doings instead of human beings. God created human beings, not human doings. Grasping that importance of rhythm means we can better deal with the serious matters of life when we come across them and not feel guilty when actually we get involved with the more trivial from time to time. And it helps us to balance and to recognize the importance of both. Friends, we are more than conquerors because we share in the victory that Jesus has won. When we go from here, we need to go from here to live as those who are more than conquerors. One of the problems about the kind of news feeds that we get, and we're assailed not just with newspapers, we get it on the television, we get it on the internet. Everything is bad news, and I know good news doesn't sell. But it can leave us within the church, if we're not careful, with a kind of siege mentality, feeling that everything and everyone is against us. When you've had the kind of treatment that I've had in recent months, the interest that's been shown, do you know, I have felt, and of course all of my notes, I'm not Mr. David Parsons, I'm the Reverend David Parsons. On all my notes, they know who and what I am. And I have been treated like a celebrity. When I come away from that hospital, I feel that I've been lifted by the way the staff have related to me. I don't feel that I'm in a siege mentality. Jesus has the victory. God is reigning. Nothing will change that, and whatever goes on in the world, we will always, if we walk with Christ and we have the courage to grasp the things that he's done for us and he's calling us to do, we only have to fear itself, and we will be more than conquerors. Amen.